And welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey, sponsored by our friends at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel, Mass Ave in Lexington, the best bagels in town, cooked right on the premises. Check out Wicked Bagel and our good friends at Wicked Bagel, proud sponsors and supporters of Boston University Hockey. And as always, we have our answers from Albie to get started. The Terriers coming off a split weekend in Hockey East play. And getting ready for a big weekend in Hockey East play with the opponent back-to-back, the UMass Lowell Riverhawks. Albie, just starting back on Friday night, difficult place to play for the Terriers or for anybody to travel up to Merrimack, and found yourselves in a bit of a hole, albeit had played well up until that point, maybe deserved a little better fate than trailing 2-0, but again, you had to show resiliency and handle adversity.
Yeah, we came off the bus ready to play. I said it before; it was a long bus ride. I think it was like 2:15 up. So I myself, Pearl, and Coach Cannell were a little bit concerned with just the length of to see how the young group would react to the long bus ride. But it didn't really faze them. They went out there and they were physically there. They were skating. I don't think we were sharp as we needed to be early. With the puck, but we fought hard and we kept at it and kept pushing and ended up playing a pretty good hockey game.
Yeah, despite records throw them out the window, it seems like when you go up there to North Andover. I think you had mentioned the post game, only the second time in the last, I think, 8 trips to North Andover that the Terriers had got on the bus with 2 points in the back.
Yeah, no, it's a hard place to play, and they get up for it, and they were off 10 days, so they were pretty geared up, ready to play a hockey game, and I think we did a good job of, and especially with a freshman goalie who's only been here for about a month, going up into that building, and he was pretty calm, pretty poised, and didn't faze him. He looked the same at the start of the game as he did at the end of the game, and even after they scored that goal that ended up getting called back, didn't really faze him then. So that was good to see, and there was. It wasn't perfect, but overall we played a pretty good road game, and we found a line that was pretty hard and pretty dangerous at the same time with Jake Wise's line.
You look at how you got climbed back in that game. First up was it seemed like you needed someone to make a big play for you, and Dom Fensori, he stepped up and made a huge play for you, really kind of a game changing play to get you within one.
Yeah, no doubt. On the power play there, the execution of the drop and the speed that those two attacked with, and Dom slid by the guy and made a great shot. So he basically got us a lot of momentum. Their bench is probably like, whoa, what happened on that play? And it was a big boost for our bench, and it allowed us to get back in the game and get into the second and the third and able to establish our game.
And Jake Wise looking very comfortable. Goal, no goal, the fact that he got a goal. Let's just talk about how he's played recently. It seems like there's been a big step in his game confidence-wise. It was just, you keep saying, it's just a matter of time, but when? I mean, he's had a lot of chances, a lot of opportunity, and looks to be right at home with Cockrell, a guy he played with earlier in the year, and also Patrick Curry. That's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, it was a good combination, and getting Cockrell back was a big key to that. His speed and energy, and then in Curry, it was Curry's best weekend. It was Jake Wise's best weekend. I think a lot had to do with them, but a lot had to do with the three of them together and how they worked with each other. So I was happy for Jake. We've said it for weeks, Jake, shoot 5-hole because you're shooting and missing by the net every single time. But he found one into the back of the net, and it was a big boost and probably a big weight lifted off his shoulders. And I felt bad for him because he was playing well, but he was not getting rewarded for it. And he's put a lot of work in getting back to being healthy 2 years in a row. So it's hard to take that much time off. And hopefully that goal can relieve him and get his mind in the right spot. And he was skating. And I think that line, it was just terrific the way they pursued the puck and used their speed and tenacity.
You mentioned that. We have Jake as our Terrier profile this week on Inside BU Hockey. And when you think about time lost, I was thinking back, it was 5 years ago that, what's his name? Oh, David Quinn. We went up to watch him play for Central Catholic. That was 5 years ago, long time. And Jake reminded me about the fact that he had a major injury at the national program. So he climbed back from injury situations on numerous occasions in his young career.
Yeah, that was two seasons. He was out for basically first game of the year two years ago. And then he came back in January, February, sort of that time. And then last year it was, it was December, right before break. And then he was out for the year. So you have two pretty serious injuries and surgeries, and it takes time. And some of the time is getting timing back and more your confidence, And if you don't score in 30 games, you're probably not feeling that great about yourself and in your game, But you get a goal, it can reprieve you and relieve you and maybe feel good about it. So I'm happy for him.
And sometimes you learn things, or my observations about teams, to how close they are at some moments that you don't expect. One of them was the other night, the way the bench reacted. I mean, it's a big goal, it's 2-2, but if it had been 7-0, the fact that Jake Wise got it, the bench erupted. And I think that's a good sign about your team and how close these guys are.
Yeah, they are. And then Jake's a popular guy, and guys have, kind of scratched their head when the puck doesn't go in because they say going in practice. So I think everyone was happy. It was a big goal for the team at that time too. So it was a big play, big moment, and it was a great reaction by the bench. And yeah, we got a good young team. You get a lot of youth there, a lot of guys. We get some older guys too, but the majority of the team is sophomore freshmen. So it was great to see.
And the way you guys adjusted to that building from the first period. There was some turnovers and puck management in the first period, but you made the adjustments in the second period and really had a pretty big – it was kind of coming in terms of the momentum. You had a pretty big territorial advantage with shot attempts, et cetera.
Yeah, the second period we came on, and we played well in the second, and we just – you just got to kind of stick – you just got to stick with it. I thought the bench was good. I thought their stick-to-itiveness was good, and they just played – they played 60 minutes like they wanted to win the hockey game, and they weren't really – phased by the score. They just kept playing, so that was a great sign. And it's a resilient group, like we've said all year, and a lot of youth and a lot of excitement. That's probably goes both ways. Like, we have some ups and downs, and if we can just play even like that consistently for games, we'll be a lot better for it.
Of course, a sharp contrast. We'll talk now about Saturday, from Friday to Saturday, in those two buildings. That the disciplinary level in a game like Friday, particularly for your defensemen. Nothing fancy, just getting the puck in deep is so important.
Yeah, that's the transition game is pretty lightning quick. So it's just a tale of two games. The one thing about the Merrimack game, preparation wise, things happen really fast. Mm-hmm. Next night, the speed of some of the forwards and the way they stretch the middle of the ice on us. And Merrimack did it too. They were cheating behind our D, and we just have to have a better awareness. We watched some video this week of just how to recognize a guy's where he is within the ice, and how he might slide out. And you just got to be aware. And Lowell does a good job of stretching the middle of the ice. And Lowell they had two breakaways versus the last time we played them. One was off the bench in overtime where the guy caught it out of midair, which was kind of a crazy play. But yeah. The other one, they kind of stretched the middle and got in between, and both guys, didn't react well. So we're just a little bit more awareness by our D, and better puck management by our forwards. They score two goals, both off turnovers. One at the end of a shift, we didn't get the line and get it in. And one, I felt bad for Mastro. It was kind of a rolling puck on him. He was trying to carry the puck up the ice. The puck rolled off his stick. They go down on a partial 2-on-1, and I think everyone knows how kind of greasy that goal was. They throw a pass cross ice, it hits Ferentz and goes in. But that's hockey. If you manage your puck better and the puck's in the zone, we can get it a little bit more into a rhythm. That's the one big key term that we've been using. We you can't get into a rhythm when you're turning pucks over and things are going east-west. When things are going north, you can forecheck, you can use our speed, and we can put teams on their heels a little bit. And we have to do that a little bit more consistently.
And just one other final note on the Merrimack. There was a lot of confusion about that replay, and we finally got an explanation. But just to tell everybody, what was the explanation that you got on the disallowed goal?
Well, just live watching, we saw they had the goalie in the net. They had six guys in the zone and then one guy changing. So they had seven guys on the ice and the goalie. So we were And then the linesman quick dropped it. Like, we knew, no one was even really set, and he dropped the puck, and they won it and shot it and went in the net. We were like that can't count. And the ref in the middle of the ice, Fryer, did a good job of right away saying no goal. I think he recognized, he looked down the other end and saw the goalie in. So we were hoping for a penalty on them, but, you know, it was I guess it was the referee's mistake. But they made the right call at the end, and it was a little bit goofy, and I'm like, there's no way this is going to be a goal. But it was ended up working out in our favor.
And Saturday was kind of, you know, you played in enough of those games to know kind of a wake up the echoes. It was about 8,000 people in the building. It was great energy, great excitement. You know, really welcome to BUBC. Welcome to the Battle of ComAv. Very hard-fought game overall, and certainly played with, competed with, skated with. Good measuring stick to what you'll be up against seeing BC at least two more times.
Yeah, I thought BC played a good game. I thought overall we played a good game too. Like, I thought it was pretty even. There were some moments where we were pushing on them. There were moments they were kind of taking it to us. The one thing, at least in the first period, was they were pretty lightning quick through their transition and jumping guys, and we weren't quite alert. You know, we had D up in the rush that weren't getting back. We had a forward cover, and so just the recognition of different situations has to get better. And I thought in the second and the third we did a way better job of it. The thing that exposed us a little bit the most was just we got a little bit scrambly in our zone, and the shift lengths ended up getting a little long because we didn't manage the puck. So we say it all the time, managing the puck. And it'd be nice to go to a game after a game and say, you know what, I thought we managed the puck really well in the game,
yeah.
Which we don't say that all the time.
Right.
It's more the opposite. And a lot of the times it's when you end up losing the game that those things show up a little bit more. But you know what, I think their first goal was nice. Their, you know, their second one was eh. The third one was a nice play. It was just tough coverage, and their fourth goal was a bounce, you know. And I thought the three goals we scored were, you know, pretty hard working, good actual, you know, goals, you know. So I think to get three on that guy and that team is a good sign, and we're just going to make sure defensively and smarts get a little bit better. But I think we're getting there. I think we have another level to get to as a team. We're just slowly climbing there. Hopefully we can take a better leap towards it this weekend.
And learning experience for your younger team about what it's like to play in the rivalry. That's a little bit of an adjustment. It's a little different than a lot of the games you play over the course of the year against a team that's got, what, about 9-10 seniors out there with Boston College. It's almost an aberration now to see one of the elite programs to have that many seniors in the program. All the transition they had 3 years ago has led to that.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see, actually. It's nice to see a team, us, BC, and some of the other teams that end up losing some guys early, the guys do stay for their senior year. And it's helped them out quite a bit. You know, the guys that are leading that team, you know, are older, have been through some ups and downs, and know how to play in that game, and their best line was their first line, which is made up of all their older guys. So, but it was great experience for our guys. I think we've had a couple good tests, you know, with the one at Cornell, that one in some big environments with some big crowds. So those two hopefully will pay dividends down the road in pressure situations, pressure games. But most importantly, as we get Lowell on Friday and the Hockey East points, the league is tight. Lowell is obviously a very difficult opponent, whether you play him here or there. We've got our hands full with them this weekend.
Nice to see you win the special teams battle on Saturday. Also, you went for four on the power play. Had great looks on the power play, and were perfect on the PK, 4-for-4.
Yep, the PK did a good job. I thought we did a good job in the neutral zone. We didn't give them a ton off the rush, and then we were aggressive when we needed to be aggressive. We blocked shots when we needed to block shots. There was a lot of buy-in by the team in that regard. And I think we had the right personnel on the ice to do it. So yeah, I thought that was good. The power play had a lot of good looks. I thought that Patrick Curry did a really good job of putting himself in a spot where guys like Zegras or Ferentz could get him the puck. And he obviously deposited. He had one that clanked off the pipe in the second period. But we got good looks, and if teams are going to cover David and cover Patrick on the side, That's going to leave him open. So if teams start to cover him, then it's going to we've just got some good weapons out there. I thought Cockrell did a good job of retrieving pucks. I thought his speed up the ice was good. So, yeah, we were happy with the special teams. And overall, we were happy with the game, minus a few moments. The moments are getting less, but I think we're getting there.
You talk about getting three against Spencer Knight. You got to be able to pick it and shoot the puck. And Patrick Harp, that was an NHL shot that he had, too, on that goal. That was a good one.
Yeah, Harp's goal was terrific. It was a nice little high. We scored two goals off high rolls and offensive zone play. So pretty good confusion exchanges. And they did it to us a couple times, too. So they're probably scratching their head in the D zone a little bit, and as we were. But the key to that goal was Jack DeBoer, his big body getting to the net and creating traffic. It was an unbelievable shot. Knight never saw it. So it's hard to stop what you don't see. So he was, I think the key to that goal was that exchange by Fensor and Harper, and then just DeBoer getting to the net. And just Harps obviously can pick corners, and he saw a little daylight, so he nailed it. But it was a great play all around, and it was nice to see a body at the net with a goal.
Next time you see BC, will be probably about twice as many people there, too. So I know you're looking forward to that already.
Yeah, that'll be nice. It'll be nice. I think we're taking it one day at a time with these guys. I think we had a good week of practice, so I think the energy level's good. I think the comfort of lines is starting to gel and blend, and I think we're just about healthy. So we're getting the club that hopefully everyone wants and we want to be. But we just got to take that step, and that step is. It's all on our own stick and our own head. You know, everyone can play defense. Everyone can make smarter reads. Everyone can manage a puck. It has nothing to do with ability. It has to do with, you know, just executing.
And I would say, looking back to close the weekend, you could take this two ways. But for the bounce of a puck, I think you know what I'm talking about. But for the bounce of a puck, the game on Saturday, now you move ahead. You've already talked a little bit about UMass Lowell. You saw him way back in October. For, I guess, the fifth straight time at Saugus Arena. Finally get him back here for the first game of the weekend. But that was kind of a crazy one up there. You jumped early in that game with a 3-0 lead and ended up with a draw.
Yeah, I thought we played actually pretty well to get that lead. Yeah. They come back right after we scored the third goal and score the next shift, which is, from a momentum standpoint, is kind of tough. Three goals leads are, you know, you look at the Bruins. They're not very good at keeping the three-goal lead right now, and you could say we're not either, because we had a 4-1 lead to Northern. We had a 3-3 lead to them, and then we just had a 3-3 lead to Dartmouth. So hopefully if we get to a three-goal lead on someone, we get to the fourth and fifth, and then, you know, it's hard to come back from 4-5. But it was I think just overall it was a pretty good game we played up there. It was an early game in the year. I think we had some bodies out. I think we get a little bit more healthy of a group. At home to start is nice. It's nice to be at home. We haven't been home in a while. Actually a long while.
Yes.
So it's
this month.
Yeah, so it's January 8th. So it's nice to get back here, and we've, you know, our guys like playing at home. You know, our rink's a little bigger. They like the comfort of it, and we've done a good job of kind of taking Aganis back, you know, and creating a home ice advantage. So hopefully we can do that on Friday.
Final word, UMass Lowell, Tyler Wall in the cage, senior, veteran, played a lot of hockey at the Division I level at this point. He's been an Iron Man for them a lot of his career. The challenge on facing him, he's been real solid for him. Big part of their success this year.
He's been really good since he's got there. Like, he was great his freshman year. I think people thought he wasn't great his sophomore year. He still had a pretty good year. He split some time. Last year he had a really good stretch there. He's been north of 930 quite a bit.
Right.
You know, if you're north of 930 in save percentage, I don't care what type of defense you're playing, you're stopping a lot of pucks. He's an elite goalie, and he's a challenge. I know we've played okay versus him, but you know, I think he's one of the better goalies in our league, so we're going to have to make sure we do get to the net and get traffic, and they're hard to get to the net on, and they're always tough defensively. So there's not a lot of ice out there, so we're going to have to just rely on, you know, trying to penetrate by shooting and getting there and, and creating, you know, rebounds and trying to put pucks home. So I like our chances if we play the right way. But, you know, I thought we played the right way the last, you know, last few games. And, you know, we just got to be a little bit more consistent for 60 minutes. We can't have that 3-minute, 4-minute, 5-minute lull, or even just a couple, you know, blatant plays that end up costing us. So hopefully we can have a consistent, strong weekend.
Best of luck, Albie. This is we're getting toward the crunch time of the Hockey East schedule here into late January, and just 3 points separating the Terriers and the Riverhawks, and 4 big ones on the line.
Yep, look forward to it.
Those are our answers from Albie this week on Inside BU Hockey, sponsored by Wicked Bagel. And welcome back once again to Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined by Boston University sophomore forward Jake Wise from Reading, Mass. Although, you know, being from Stoneham, I hear a guy's from Reading, and I'm always questionable, but I know you've only spent a couple of years in Reading. I feel a lot better talking to you now, Jake. But all kidding aside, great weekend for you last weekend, and being able to get that first one up at Merrimack. Just seems like you were getting close. There's been a lot of shifts where you've flat-out dominated and had opportunities. Just a matter of time to break through.
Long time coming. It took a while, but now that the first one's out of the way, definitely just looking for more. It was exciting, but moved past it and just getting ready for this weekend now and for the future. We got a lot of big games coming up, so it's good to get that one out of the way, maybe score a couple bigger ones down the road.
Well, that one was a pretty big one. We'll get to that in a minute, but just you're looking at your overall body of work here at BU, you know, truth be told, only a dozen games last year, injury situation. You've had to battle through a lot of adversity.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I think what helped me a lot was I broke my collarbone the year before at the program, so I knew how to deal with the injury, knew how to deal with all that, but this one was much longer. It was a 6-month injury. I had to spend a lot of time out, a lot of time in the gym with Checker, but I think I tried preparing like the best I could to be ready for this season. But I feel like no matter what you do when you're hurt, like, it's always a little harder when you come back to playing a real game. Like, there's nothing that can prepare you for a real game besides for playing. So it was tough to come back a little bit, but just finding my stride here, and my teammates helped me a ton. Like, getting back with Cockrell and Curry, it's been awesome. So it's been a lot of adversity, but it's good. It's good adversity.
It's good that what you've been through, and as they say, stronger for it. You also mentioned people might not remember the fact that I remember just following you that you did have an injury with the national program that cut that short. So you know what it's like to be resilient and be able to work hard through recovery process to get yourself back. And as you point out, there's nothing like game speed. There's nothing to duplicate that.
No, nothing, especially when I only played 12 games of college last year. I was just getting used to the college speed, and all of a sudden I'm out. So it was almost like another freshman year this year, kind of getting used to it. But year's not over, starting to hit stride. So I'm really excited. I think we're all really excited in there. We're getting better and better each game. So, yeah.
And you mentioned about with Cockrell, you had success back early in the season. And then it was Cockrell that went down with an injury that kept him out for a considerable amount of time. But it looks like your comfort level in the middle right now with Logan, what he can add speed-wise, and also Patrick Curry, his tenacity. You guys, just to give us a little perspective on that, you seem like you guys are a combination that can be very successful, very productive.
Yeah, it was tough to see Coxie go down. He's obviously captain, really big-time player for us. So fast, he flies, absolutely flies on the ice. So I think like our line can really bring a lot of speed and tenacity. Like, Curry's one of the most tenacious players I've ever played with. Coxie gets in there, so makes my job really easy seeing them fly around. Like, but I think we just have a lot of speed, and that can be a lot for big D, especially in college. So getting in on the forecheck, getting the puck back, I think that'll help us be really productive, and we could be able to make a lot of plays here coming in the stretch.
Well, if you're going to get one, and it was a long time coming, and once again, not for lack of opportunities. I mean, you must have been feeling it recently. I can feel it watching you describing the game. You've had so many great opportunities. You've really emerged and just looked more comfortable out there, more confident recently. But, boy, big sigh of relief when that one finally went in for you.
Yeah, I think I lost 10 pounds after that one. Literally, it took it. It took a while, but yeah, it was a big sigh of relief. I mean, I had breakaways that I just whiffed on. I literally couldn't hit the net every time I had a big chance. Like, I was just trying to shoot everything. So I don't know why, but like, I was just like feeling it. Like, when I had those good chances, like I'd realize it and like grab my stick a little tight. And then for some reason, like I've started to feel comfortable the last couple games, like way more comfortable and like just in every situation. So when I got that breakaway, like, I didn't even think twice about it. I honestly didn't really even see it go in the net. I didn't know until I heard a cheer. So yeah, it's just a huge sigh of relief. Like, nice to get that one out of the way and move on.
And if you're gonna get one, you might as well get a big one. Down 2-0 up at Merrimack, that was a huge one to get the game even.
Yeah, it was, happened to be a big one, and it was good to see my roommate Debbie go right down and score one just seconds after. So it's funny because that rink I've played a lot of hockey in, like a lot of hockey. So actually Wallstrom, who we played at BC last year, he texted me after the game and was like, if you're gonna get one, like, you've done skill sessions there since you were like six, so it all comes together. So it really did come together.
We mentioned that on the broadcast prior to you scoring the goal. I said to Mark Linehan on the broadcast, I said, gosh, I said, with Jake, wonder how many times he's played in this building. You just answered the question, and I figured quite a lot growing up in the area with the Central Catholic. And then also back, I got to put a shout out in, the founder of the Middlesex Islanders program was a guy named Gus Bono from Stoneham. So I had to mention, I'll never get to mention this again, so I had to mention that. But you were part of that program. So you spent a lot of time up there at Lawler in North Andover, your hometown.
Tons of time. All that, like you said, played for the Islanders, played a couple high school games in there. But every single summer that's where I do my skill session. So like, I'm skating on Merrimack like 3 times a week. So it was funny. Like, and then I lived in North Andover. So Central was right by North Andover. So I knew a lot of people at that game. My parents weren't there, but they were watching. They were watching the broadcast. So it's funny how things work. It all comes together.
Well, let's hope that that's the start of some really positive things for you moving forward. It certainly seems so with that current line combination, that, you know, the way that line combination has come together with you, Curry, and Cockrell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of positivity. I think we're all just playing. We're not worrying about who scores or anything. We're just trying to play and have fun, and ultimately just keep winning. Like, we're down the stretch here. Every game's huge. So we got to win. We got to keep winning, and we got fun ones coming up. So playing with those guys, they've been through it all. I haven't even played in a Beanpot, Hockey East, anything. So it's really cool to have them right by my side on the bench and in the locker room. So they're going to help a lot, and a lot of positive things to come, hopefully.
Yeah, with your line mates, both the veterans and both with the letters on the sweater, that should be helpful for you. You're a freshman in a lot of ways this year. It was like a freshman year again.
Yeah, I mean, the hockey side's definitely been like a freshman year. Like I said, it says I'm a sophomore, but it feels like I'm a freshman sometimes. Like I know in the locker room, I try being like a act older than, like, I act like a sophomore. But a lot of times on the ice, sometimes I feel like a freshman, or I used to more at the beginning of the year. But now I'm just starting to grow out of that. And so it's huge to have them, and they're really supportive and really easy to talk to, and they're really smart. Great leaders, so it's really helpful for sure.
And as far as this weekend, it's a big weekend. Hockey standings are real tight here. Late January, really getting into the heart of the league play, coming into the month of February and down the stretch. Opponent UMass Lowell, saw him back in October, 3-3 tie at Lowell. You finally get him here at Aganis, and then back up again, familiar territory, back in the Merrimack Valley. Your thoughts on getting ready for the Riverhawks this weekend?
Yeah, I think they're a big, strong team. They always have a good team. Like, you can't play Lowell lightly. They're huge. They play really hard. So I think just in practice, like, doing a lot of competitive stuff. Like, we're all competing with each other to make each other better. So it's been good to get ready and like prepare for a bigger team like than BC. Like, BC is more of like a skilled team, skilled like us, and Lowell's big, strong, and heavy, so we've done a lot of heavier drills, more one-on-one battles, but we'll be ready, and it should be a really good series. They're a good team. We're a good team, so it'll be good to get a couple wins here.
look forward to the weekend, Jake, and best to you, and look forward first of many here, and great to see you with a great line combination there. So all the best. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Jake Wise, Boston University sophomore forward from Reading, Mass. Our Terrier profile this week on Inside BU Hockey. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett, pleased to have with us, have back on our program. We've had him on occasion when it's the Riverhawk weekend for the Terriers. The long time, I can say that because I'm also a long time, voice of the UMass Lowell Riverhawks, Bob Ellis. Bob, welcome. Welcome back as we look forward to another chapter in the Terriers-Riverhawks rivalry.
Well, it's a rivalry that goes a long ways back. It's a pleasure to be on with you. We have done this on a number of occasions over the 36 years that I've been following UMass Lowell hockey.
Indeed. Good that we're both here and alive and well and still doing it. Count our blessings here, Bob, that we're still around the great game of hockey around the rinks.
No question about it.
Indeed. Well, the Terriers and the Eagles, they have some similarity as far as last weekend. Both of them lost to Boston College by a goal. Looking back on the weekend for the Riverhawks, the opening minute and 11 seconds, the Riverhawks jumped on the Eagles with a 2-0 lead, but would not manage to get another puck by Spencer Knight the rest of the night. Thus, the fact that the Eagles clawed their way back for a 3-2 victory, and disappointing result, but at the same time, as you look at this Riverhawks team, able to measure themselves against arguably one of the top teams in Hockey East and a team that's emerged as one of the top teams in the country. That's going to give some encouragement to everybody in the Lowell camp as far as their performance on Friday and the ability to compete with the best.
I'm not sure everybody was encouraged by the final score, and I say that, look, UMass Lowell's a good hockey club. They've been nationally ranked, so is BC. Riverhawks, 71 seconds into the hockey game, had a 2-0 lead, and they had some opportunities in the first and second periods to make it a 3-0 hockey game, and you get the feeling that had they been able to do that, it might have been a very different night, but they were unable to do that, unfortunately, for UMass Lowell fans. Now, that said, BC's a terrific hockey club, and when you end up in a close hockey game, and then you make some mistakes, Boston College has enough talented players that they're going to take advantage of the mistakes, and as it turned out, that is exactly what happened. But that said, I, as an observer, was encouraged because I like the way UMass Lowell played for most of the 60 minutes. Probably 58 minutes of good hockey and you know, 30 seconds here and 30 seconds there, that there were some mistakes. Well, that's where the problems were, and that's why it ends up being a 3-2 loss. But when you're up 2-0 in a hockey game, you need to get the third goal.
And absolutely, and not for lack of opportunity, as you point out. Lowell out shooting Boston College 36-24, and as always, looming large, the power play opportunities. The Riverhawks were held off the score sheet with the man advantage, Bob, 0-for-4. That can loom large when you're not able to cash in on those man-up opportunities. A lot of times you get one, that's the separation point for a game.
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, I really look at a power play in the second period as the turning point in the hockey game. Charlie Levesque has a one-timer from the left circle. Spencer Knight comes across with a terrific blocker save. That goes in, it's 3-0. It doesn't go in. Not 3-0, it's still 2-0. Riverhawks are still on a power play, but before the power play would end, BC gets a shorthanded goal, and that, unfortunately, changes everything. And BC would come back to tie it in the second period. And then Logan Hutzko, and you've seen him do this before. He gets his body down under a defenseman, gets body position, and he gets a shot that eludes Tyler Wall and ends up being a 3-2 BC win. But again, I like the way Lowell played most of the night. The next night, they get two power play goals and three opportunities. One of them is a one-timer from Charlie Levesque at the left faceoff circle. Hmm. Very reminiscent of the one that was stopped 24 hours earlier, you know, watching from upstairs, I'm thinking, oh, what might have been a day earlier had that puck not been, knocked aside. Anyway, that said, I thought Lowell played very well on Saturday night. I was actually more concerned with some of what I saw on Friday night. I was a little more concerned with some of what I saw on Saturday night, where it was a very different hockey game. And Lowell played well. I think the shot misleading is they were outshot by 24 in that, which is the most they'd been outshot in a game and won since 1990 when they beat Maine 2-1 on a Donnie Parsons goal. That said, they played a better hockey game Friday than they played Saturday.
And also big factor in the discrepancy there, territorial discrepancy, Merrimack with 8 power play opportunities. They ended up 3-for-8 on the power play, but as we've been around long enough, Bob, that's just way too many opportunities with a man up that you can afford to escape. Unfortunately, Lowell was on the winning end of a game where oftentimes you look at a team with 8 power plays, and oftentimes that's going to be the team hitting 3-for-8 that's going to be the one coming out on top.
No question about it. Now, we should say the 3 power play goals come after UMass Lowell is up 6-1 in the hockey game. One of them's on a 5-on-3. 2 of them come on 6-on-4, extra attacker on a power play goal. So a little bit misleading, but UMass Lowell, I think, killed off something like 18 straight penalties over 4.5 games prior to that. And as you know, you kill penalties, that takes a lot out of you. When you're killing 8 in a hockey game, it wears you down. And that may be a little bit of what we saw in that third period in the game against Merrimack.
Huge part of the story for the Riverhawks has been Tyler Wall as a senior. Really Iron Man role for him once again. You've watched him play for 4 years, his entire career. What about the Tyler Wall now that's coming down the stretch in his senior year? Is he a guy that just seems to have taken it to another level with his overall playing consistency?
Oh, no question he's taken it to another level. He has been a difference maker this year. You know, you look at UMass Lowell, they've been outshot in 15 of their 23 games, but they've won 10 and I think lost 2 and tied 3 in that group of 15 games. Tyler Wall is playing at another level. First, just purely technically as a terrific textbook goaltender, but also I think his mental game is as tough, as strong as it has ever been. You go back to his freshman year, they win a Hockey East Championship with Tyler Wall, and he's terrific. There was at times some inconsistency. Sophomore year is one you might as well forget about. His junior year, he split time with Christopher Hernberg. Both were terrific. It was hard to give one the job over the other, so they did a lot of rotating. But this year, it's his job. He's earned it, and he's played on top of his game all season long.
Offensively, you look at the overall stat sheet, and we saw these guys back in October when the Terriers had a 3-goal lead disappear in what became a 3-3 draw up at Saugus. 3 freshmen leading scorers right now, 3 of the guys that were added to the equation for Norm Bazin up front.
Oh, no question about it. Matt Brown, Carl Berglund, Andre Lee, your top 3 scorers in points with this hockey club, and they've been absolutely terrific in considering that you lost with Ryan Lowen, your top scorer from a year ago, and you lost some other pretty good offensive players as well. They've been just what the doctor ordered. Impressive, as I watch them, is how they haven't really seemed to hit a bump in the road. I know Matt Brown's been held off the score sheet as far as goals a little bit lately, but his level of play has been terrific. Carl Berglund's been consistent from day one. Andre Lee, impressive the way he has improved. You saw him back, what was it, October 25th, I think?
Yes,
he
yep,
looked like
October.
A different hockey player now. Mm-hmm. The steps that he has taken, it's just fun as an observer to watch the maturing process. And UMass Lowell is, I believe, and you can check me, but I've been looking through stats to every team. I think they're the only team in the country whose top 3 scorers are freshmen.
All freshmen forwards that have been added to the mix this year. And
although I will note, in Hockey East, BU, Providence, Merrimack, and Lowell, they're the top 4 freshman classes in scoring in the country. So it bodes well for Hockey East if you look to the future. You got a lot of terrific young players who are producing, who are contributing right now.
And one guy who's maybe the production is maybe down a little bit from what the expectations, a 4-year guy that's got some big goals over the course of his career, Kenny Hausinger.
Hausinger's playing. No, he's playing well. And this year, a little bit odd in that assists are ahead of goals. But, you know, you watch Kenny Hausinger, and he's playing well, maybe with some different line mates. You know, Norm Bazin, their lines seem to change on a regular basis as he kind of works throughout a season to find combinations that work most effectively. But Hausinger's come up big when they've needed him to come up big.
And to the D Corps in front of Tyler Wahl, Bob, you did have a pretty good core group on the blue line returning. Guys like Blackman and Seth Barton, Detroit Red Wings draft pick. What about their development over the course of the year as we hit this all-important stretch in league play?
The two that you mentioned are young, and John McDonald I would put in with that group as well. The three are sophomores. I think they've played well. There's some ups and downs at times. You see Chase Blackman really maturing. I think a year ago, at this point, 23 games into the season, I think he had a goal, two assists, and 3 points. At the moment, he's, you know, 3 goals and 12 points. He's maturing in developing his offensive game. Seth Barton, I think from day one, has showed offensive attributes, and we continue to see that develop. 3 assists last Saturday on Lowell's first 3 goals. So you're getting your points when probably at the most important stage of the hockey game. John McDonald is a guy that, to me, is under the radar. He has just been a terrific, and maybe arguably among that trio who were freshmen last year, maybe their most complete all-around defense.
Looking at this weekend, once again, this rivalry, it seems like we run into each other a lot. You think back to last year and the three-game series that went all the way to a deciding third game on St. Patrick's Day weekend. One thing about these two teams, not too many secrets because of the amount of the frequency of these two teams have played, and certainly a lot on the line this weekend, Bob, which is 3 points separating Lowell, 3 points ahead of the Terriers in the very congested Hockey East standings.
Oh, yeah, I would think, Bernie, from your standpoint, I would assume you would agree that the race for the top four spot is a six-team race, and maybe the way New Hampshire's playing, a seven-team race.
Yeah.
Lowell at the moment sits in fourth place. They got a 3-point lead on BU. They have played the same number of games. This becomes an extremely important weekend if you're trying to solidify some sort of hold on home ice. If you're Boston University, it's a very important weekend because you don't want to find yourself having to chase right down to the wire, which I think was the case last year. Where it comes down to the final day of the season. So, yeah, it's a very important weekend, despite the fact we got more than a month to go in a Hockey East season. It's an extremely important weekend. You know, while we talk about top four, at the same time, Lowell's just 2 points out of first place.
Right.
BU is just 5 points out of first place. So, when you say congested, well, I mentioned the six- or seven-team race for top four spot, it's a six- or seven-team race, arguably, for the top spot.
Yeah, all the way for the league pennant here, Bob. A good
point. Yeah.
Yep, on how tight it is. And it seems like parity.
Think about it as well. If you're the finished fourth, you get home ice, but you're playing a really good fifth-place team. Lowell found that out last year. If you finish third this year, you may be playing an extraordinarily difficult number six seed.
That's right.
So I'm not sure you're thinking just in the race for, oh, I've got to get home ice. You may be thinking about, you've got to finish one or two, or you know you really have your work cut out for you.
That's right. That's a good point because of how tight it is right now.
There are good teams who are not going to be the home ice team that are going to be coming into somebody's building and probably with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Yep, absolutely.
And I will note, you know, you look at this UMass Lowell and BU matchup, each team has done pretty well in the other team's building in recent years.
Yes.
Home ice has not necessarily been a big advantage.
That is true. Look no further than last year. The Terriers able to win that deciding third game. And Bob, really, I guess to conclude, we're kind of bringing ourselves to this as a couple of guys that have been, you know, literally and figuratively around Hockey East since the beginning. It seems like we talk each year, the parity level, what we've got right now as we head to late January, it just seems like it becomes more dramatic and more pronounced each year as to how much parity there is and how tight it is. It's amazing.
No question about it. It is. I will admit Vermont has struggled and they're hard to put into the parity picture. But think about it. If you're Merrimack, who's sitting in 10th place, you've got 2 games this weekend at home with Vermont. That could be 4 points. And then you go play Maine the following weekend, and you could be passing Maine in the standings, and you could be looking at a fight for 6th or 7th place. And so you really got 10. I don't mean to show any lack of respect to the University of Vermont, whose coach I think is terrific, but has had a tough go of it this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a tough Hockey East, top to bottom.
Indeed it is, and they'll be playing out this weekend for the Terriers and the Riverhawks with just 3 points separating them. First up, Attagannis Arena, 7:30 on Friday. We hope to see you, and as always, I'm sure it'll be a big BU contingent in the Merrimack Valley that'll turn out on Saturday. And, well, the Riverhawks, and as really, they have been the show now for a number of years, Bob. I'm so impressed with the crowds and the excitement, the electricity, and the buzz in the building. It's been very impressive to see now the way that that's developed over a number of years.
Well, it's a thing where you get the feeling that in Lowell, UMass Lowell is not simply supported by the school, and it clearly is, but it's really become a team that is supported by the community. Whether you are an alum or whether you just happen to live here. Certainly, when you go back the last 9-10 years, and I'll say nine, kind of market where Norm Bajan becomes the head coach, and the things the team's done out in the community has helped bring, I think, the community and the university closer together. You know, last Saturday they wore a third jersey with City of Lowell neighborhood names on the back of the jerseys.
Uh-huh.
But what they had done prior to that was the athletes went out in groups to different neighborhoods in the city, met with neighborhood leaders, learned about the history of the neighborhood.
Mm.
So it's part of integrating this, if you will, blue-collar hockey team with this blue-collar city. And it does pay off when you see attendance and you see the crowds and you see the enthusiasm in the building.
Right. No, that's great to show that they're really invested to have that educational experience. And you're right. It's paid dividends and made a difference at the box office. It's been great to see with that atmosphere traveling up there. And we look forward to that on Saturday. First business at hand will be Friday night. The Terriers and the Riverhawks get the weekend started. And, Bob, great to get the weekend started early with you here to join us on Inside BU Hockey once again. We appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the program. I look forward to sharing a press box with you both Friday and Saturday nights, my friend.
Bob Ellis, longtime voice of the UMass Lowell Riverhawks, providing the view from the other bench for this weekend to get us ready on Inside BU Hockey.